Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
All right, can I be honest with you guys? I tried to give this a pulpit away 3 times today. It didn't work. This is the last Sunday of 2018, and we're going to go into 2019. We spent Christmas with my oldest son, who's a really smart guy, like a brainiac, and I spent some time with him. Oh, I'm not allowed to move. Sorry. I'm supposed to sit here and preach like a Presbyterian. Yeah, 25 minutes if I stay still. My son's getting a PhD in adult learning, and we were hanging out together, him and I, day before Christmas, and he started rehearsing our journey, my journey, and how I learn, and this has helped him get, he's working on his PhD, working with adults, learning and how people, we all learn differently. You know, how I learn and how I get stuff from God is completely different from him. This kid reads and writes Aramaic, Greek, Hebrew. He's a real smart guy. And that's how he gets his stuff. And then he'll have a revelation in the Word. Well, you know, I go to heaven, talk to Jesus, and get a revelation. I have an encounter. And then it takes me like a month to figure out how that works in the Word. But I still learn. So I learn differently than him. I have encounters, and then I find it in the Word. And so for 2019, we as this church are going to get grounded in the Word and have experiences to prove what we read. Yes. Yes. Listen, teaching is for transformation. Preaching is for declaration. Last week, I signed up for the city. Did you? I registered. This is my city. This is my responsibility. Do I travel? Do I go to New York? Do I go to Ohio? Do I go to other places and preach? Yes. But I have finally, as of prophetically, I preached last week very prophetically. I got that message during worship, and I've never seen the fact that I need to register for the city. And you'd think, boy, that's pretty stupid. You're a pastor here and you never have. No, I just kind of did what God told me to do without the understanding that I needed to register. I cannot have authority without responsibility. Yes, yes, yes. When you want authority without responsibility, you'll look for a position. That was good. So, Jason just lit me up, and I said, will you come and preach for me? And he's one of the, you know, he committed to it, and then he backed out on me. So then yesterday was my day. Yesterday was my day. Got up early, drove an hour, met with a pastor, had been a pastor for 30 years. He raises giant killers. Some of you know who I'm talking about. And I had breakfast with him. I spent an hour and a half with him and shared at a deep, deep level of what I'm seeing God doing. And he pulled on me as a prophet. What are you seeing for this year? What are you feeling this year? And it lines up with what God's showing him. And that made me feel good. Then I went and had coffee and sat for 6 hours and did nothing but regurgitate some of the experiences I've had. Yes, yes. And shared some of the encounters and some of the processes on how I've learned some things about the kingdom. And I made this statement during that relationship building time. Some of this stuff I can't share. Some of this stuff I won't share. And when I made that statement, it was a lot of stuff. When I got home, and I got home at 4, and that's all I did was just talk about God and prophetic and what God's doing and the kingdom, and I was exhausted, man. I felt like I had dug a ditch all day or something. And the Lord just kind of highlighted that statement. He says, there are definitely some things you should never share with some people. Yeah, yeah. But there's a lot of things you need to start sharing with the people, but you need to ground it in the Word. All right. Yeah, right. And so I was going to start studying for what I was going to preach. And the Lord says, yeah, you're tired. Go to bed. I'll give you something in the morning. And so I set the alarm and snoozed past it for a while. And I said, Lord, you know, it'd kind of be nice to have a message since I can't give this pulpit away. And he says, well, what do you want to preach about? I said, well, it's the last Sunday of the year. I said, yeah. I said, but it's also the beginning of the new year. And he says, well, go to what happened in the beginning. And he gave me the scripture, and it came to life to me. And it's 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him there was nothing that was made. Listen, in Him was life, and the light was the light of men. And light shines in the darkness, and the darkness He has not overcome it. And the darkness has not overcome it. That was my scripture this morning at 7 o'clock. And I started taking that scripture apart, and I said, Lord, I'm not going to share that. They think I'm crazy. What is He saying? Jesus is the Word. Yeah. And what He's saying is if you're going to preach and you're going to teach the Word, you've got to teach Christ. Yeah. It is about Him. It should always be about Him. It should stay about Him. In the beginning, it's about Him, and in the end, it's about Him. If it's not about Him, then you might as well be Hindu. If it's not about Him, go become Buddhist. But listen, if we're going to walk in the power and we're going to have authority over a city and we're going to have bring miraculous healings and start winning the lost and start having the kingdom of God turn into the army of God, listen, you better be grounded in the Word. Now, I'm not going to make the Word religious to where it's such rules and regulations you can't have the flow of the Spirit and let God be creative with you. Listen, I don't learn by just the Word. I learn by experiencing. I read the Word and go, I don't believe that. Show me. And boom, He takes me to heaven and He shows me that. And I go, oh, okay, I believe it now. The problem is that we have so many people that believe that the Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Word. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And if you're not reading the Word as the Holy Spirit being the teacher, then you will only have Logos knowledge. I can't live on Logos knowledge because I get dry and mean and black and white and I'm cantankerous. This morning we were on the way here and Susie and I pray. And we were a little late this morning and I was driving aggressive. And her prayer went something like, Lord, help us today at church, be this. And then, Lord, help this driver. She started praying for the guy in the gray car that was slow. She was praying for everybody around me. She was asking the Holy Spirit to tell me to use my blinker. I'm like, man, what a hypocrite. You ever seen her drive? But here's what happened on the way to church. Brian Higby, one of our overseers of the church, one of my best friends, calls me, and he was in prayer this morning, and he starts describing in prayer what I'm preaching on today. And here's what he said. He says, while you were preaching, I saw one of your angels there, and he was going to teach the people how to separate light from darkness. And he described one of my angels. One of my angels' name is Big D. I call him Big D. When we have done deliverance teams before, and there's times where I have to enter into deliverance for people, this angel shows up, Big D, with a sword. Isn't that interesting, Rodney? Big D. Big D don't play. And there's times where I have to exercise authority in the situation, and Big D will come up behind the person, and he'll set the sword right on their shoulder. And that demonic activity shuts up, quits squirming, and pays attention. And I'm telling you, Big D's in the room today. Because he's going to teach us and give us the authority to separate the darkness and the light within us. There's too many Christians that are not releasing their light. They're trying to suck up the darkness. And we have to separate from some darkness, and we have to use the light to do it. What does it say here in John chapter 1? Here it says, "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was nothing that was made." Listen, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. The life was the light of men. Listen, we should be able to turn on our prophetic eyes and know if someone's saved or not. The issue is that some of us are not trustworthy enough for God to show you people's lives, because if you see the light, then you know that they're saved. But the problem is we get attracted to the darkness. In other words, he can't trust us with our prophetic insight, because now we'll start telling somebody else, "Did you know he's got a little dark side about him?" Instead of covering him in love and bringing that person into a place of healing and teach them how to use a Big D and teach them how to get some things out of their life and let the light of God shine greater. Because listen, the problem is there's a bunch of Christians that are walking around that are demonized. And the enemy has a legal right to live in darkness. So if you've got an area of your life that is a continual cycle that the enemy is abusing you in, it's because you are allowing darkness to reign and rule in your life and of exposing it to the light of Jesus Christ. And you can get all this stupid, "Well, Christians can't be possessed." Well, then quit acting like it. Deliverance is a basic change of mindset. You're replacing darkness with truth. It's that simple. And the problem is if there's anything alive, it has the light of God in it. If there's anything alive, it's being sustained by Jesus Christ. Even what is considered people that are dark. They ain't breathing unless God gives them permission to breathe. But what are you doing with that light? Are you focusing on people's darkness? Are you focusing on helping them increase the light? That's evangelism. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Go to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, I'm like, "Lord, we're getting ready to begin 2019. Yeah, well, if you don't figure out what happens in the beginning, then you'll wind up as dark at the end of 2019 as you began. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the, verse 5. You know what? Let's go. I did something to this Bible. No, Ron touched it. And God separated. All right, I'm going back. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There it is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Some of you haven't figured out that there wasn't a heaven until God said, "I need a heaven." See, you think heaven was eternal. God is eternal, and God created heaven. You getting this? The problem is we're making the destination eternal when it's actually the one who made it. Don't let me get too deep. Some of you just went, bing, 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 bing. God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Let there be light, and there was light. So who separated the darkness? How did he do it? He released light. He didn't push darkness out. The light did. And there's too many Christians focusing on the darkness of man instead of releasing the light of the gospel. And that's why we got a bunch of mean, sourpuss looking Christians preaching a ghost. Ron, stop it. He was giving me animated. But the gospel is the good news. And it's the light that pushes darkness around. The problem is we're afraid of the darkness because we don't let our light shine enough. The Old Testament darkness, when it touched you, you became dark. If the leper touched you, you became unclean. We're not in the Old Covenant anymore. I'm in the New Covenant. Leper touches me, he gets clean. Why? Because when darkness touches me, I'm light. It gets separated. Is this preaching? Yep. All right. Let there be light, and there was light. But let me tell you something. He spoke it. Yeah. When I said it earlier, the foundation of this church has now a prophetic foundation. God has not allowed me to function as a prophet in this church, although I are one. But we have. It's taken 12 years, by the way, and 12 is government. And I'm telling you, in 2019, this church is going to start functioning at a prophetic level that I know God is calling us to. Yes. But in that prophetic level, there has to be some form and structure. Otherwise, you get nutty and crazy and unproductive. Yeah. Certified whack jobs. You're not smiling now, Ron. Yeah, okay. Woohoo! I'll never forget this late. This one girl, she was so prophetic, and she said, she's talking to me and Susie. She goes, I looked in the mirror. Well, I don't know what this means. I saw some green stuff on my face. What is God showing me? And Susie goes, it's snot. It's not prophetic. Wipe your nose. You know? What does it mean? You got boogers! Listen, we can attract the Fruit Loops. Oh, I got stories, but we're not going there. I'm preaching. Let there be light. So in the beginning, you know, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He's pointing back to Genesis. So the root of John 1 is Genesis 1. You can't get away from your foundation. So if we're going to be a prophetic church, the foundation, we're not going to get away from the foundation, is that everybody's supposed to be prophetic. Everybody is supposed to operate in prophecy. Hear God's voice, have visions, have dreams, and understand signs and wonders. That's the body of Christ. It's not for the elect few. Because what happens when you make it for the elect few, then it becomes a kingdom that a man sits in and not God. Foundation. So Genesis is about the creation portion. And so I just studied some things. And go to Proverbs 8, verse 22. And the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his old acts. And I'm like, what the heck is that? Proverbs, we're going to read the whole chapter of Proverbs 8. Verse 22 says, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work. What does that mean to you? The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work. That caught me this morning. Because we're going into 2019. Listen, I'm going to continue preaching about finances because A steward of money is the bottom rung. If you're not faithful with your money, then you have eliminated God's ability to promote you and your family and your finances and your ability to be a voice in a city. So I'm going to continue. I probably got 10 more weeks on finances. And then we're going to go probably hit another small section on Sunday morning on identity. I know that's our name. We don't know who we are. Because if you start functioning in the prophetic and have a false identity, you'll build your own kingdom. And I'll tell you what, some of you think you'll outrank me because you have a better gift than me. Wow. Let me go there. We have in church. Ron Culver is a prophet. If you probably put our two gifts together, he has a stronger prophetic gift than I do. He does not outrank me. And the position in this church, what God has called us to do, and the problem is that when people are highly gifted and they can hear God, they think that God, because they gave them information, that God gives them permission to do things. Yes. And it goes into rebellion, and then the prophetic turns into witchcraft. Yes. That was good. I know I'm preaching good when you start throwing $20 bills. But that principle that I just used with Ron doesn't change with any of you. Doesn't change with me either, because we're subject one to another. This last year has been a tough year. The last Sunday of 2018, Luke Scott preached. He preached on team. He's a professional baseball player, so he had a little bit of juice and understanding on team sports. But the body of Christ is a team. This church needs to be a team. And he preached on God building a militia. And before the day was out, we had a separation here at the church. Listen, if you're not supposed to be here, you will want to leave. Bye, Ron. Don't let the door hit you with a good Lord split you. No. They usually wait till I'm done preaching to leave. They don't usually leave in the middle of it. Here's the problem. And we're going to go in. We're taking the prophetic and making it into the foundation. Yeah. Got it? Say, we're a prophetic house. What does that mean? It means that every one of us should hear God's voice clearly. Yes. My sheep hear my voice and follow none other. Listen, some of the things that I will say, if it doesn't feel right and you can't discern it right, you need to come and talk to me. Yeah. Now, you also have to be open and let me slap that religious thing off you if that's what it is. Yeah. And I have to be willing to hear you because I can be wrong. I only know in part, I only see in part. There's people in this congregation who has challenged things that I've said. And I have not been always right. And if that is your scorecard and you want to stone the prophets of old because they missed it, join another church. Nobody's going to be perfect. And we need to make a safe place that as we're being taught and the anointing. Listen, teaching is for transformation. Preaching is for declaration. The problem is we want to preach because and declare, but you've never been taught right.
Come on. Sounds good.
That's good preaching. It's actually a little teaching in there. But here's the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work. Who is talking there? You take that abstract scripture and it's like, what does that mean? Guess who it is? Go to 8:1. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. This is talking about wisdom. The problem is we believe at creation it was the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost and nobody else. Wisdom was with him. Wisdom, if For some of you have not been in heaven and seen wisdom. Wisdom looks like a white-haired, a white-haired old person, but young. And she's a female, but she looks male. I mean, not mustache male, but masculine, but female. Not a wimp. But wisdom is a being. And wisdom was with God in the beginning. If you don't catch this, then you won't become like God and become a creator. Oh, you're trying to tell me I'm like God? Well, are you like God? What does God do? He speaks things into existence. And if you're going to be a prophetic church, you have to speak some things into existence like God did. But if you haven't been trained by God and understand the assets of the kingdom are still available to you. What does it say in James? For man who lacks wisdom, what does it say to do? Ask for it. Well, wisdom is an eternal being that works in heaven and earth. Wisdom is accessible to every one of us, and wisdom was in the beginning. And wisdom was possessed by the Lord. The problem is you're not possessed by the Lord, therefore wisdom is not attracted to you. On the heights besides the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call." Who calls? Wisdom. "And my cry is to the children of man." Wisdom is looking for your children's children. Oh, simple ones, learn prudence. This is what teaching will do. Learn prudence. Ha. Oh, fools, learn sense. Quit being a fool. Learn some sense. God's trying to give us everything we need. "Here, for I will speak noble things." What is nobility? It's the root word of generosity. "From my lips will come what is right. From my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and write to those who find knowledge." Listen, if we're going to become a prophetic house that teaches the word and then goes and demonstrates it, we got to have wisdom. "Take my instructions instead of silver." Man, this could be one of my financial messages here. Pa! "Take instructions instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." Female. "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find knowledge and discretion." She finds knowledge and discretion. The problem is some of us are not willing to be a student enough to have enough knowledge for wisdom to be our friend. Yes. What am I saying? I'm saying if you're a real fool, wisdom isn't going to help you because wisdom won't waste its time. "The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverse speeching I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight." Oh, see, we want to be prophetic, but we don't want it through wisdom. See, we want the prophetic to make us look good instead of wisdom to tell us what needs to be good. "I have strength." Some of you just, you're looking for strength from the Lord, but you're not actually understanding it comes through wisdom. Some of you need strength. Some of you just need to go to bed earlier. I'm talking to you because I'm feeling this. "By me, kings reign." See, we're a kingdom church, and I'm trying to teach you how to rule. If you're not ruling with wisdom besides yourself, you're building the wrong kingdom. "By me, kings reign, and rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule, and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me." How many have said, "Wisdom, I love you"? See, we keep courting Jesus because we need forgiveness of sin. We haven't got past that to court the very principles and the assets of the kingdom. I love those who love me. This is wisdom talking. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Who wants wisdom? Where are you going to find it? Riches and honor are with me. I'm preaching on prosperity. I'm preaching on money. And here wisdom says it's with me. It's the foundation. Just like I'm telling you, this is a prophetic church. If that's the foundation. Listen, we get that right, the prophets could come and just release heaven at a dimension that we've never seen. Yeah. Riches and honor are with me. Who wants to be honored? Enduring wealth and righteousness. Isn't that interesting? Wealth and righteousness. Some of us just want money. We don't want to be righteous. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the path of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me. How many have been looking for your inheritance from God? You might want to petition wisdom. Because I believe God granted wisdom the keys to your inheritance. Because if you get your godly inheritance without wisdom, you'll squander it. I got to say something to you. This is prophetic because I didn't know this. Where is it coming from? The Word. Ha. Granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. Come on, man. Filling their treasuries? Some of you are just going, I need money in my wallet. No, this is a treasury. A treasury is where you go, oh, I spent all my money today. Fill up for tomorrow. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his works and the first of his acts of old. Ages go, I was set up at the first before the beginning of the earth. Then there were no depths I brought forth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. I'm like, Lord, what are you telling me, God? Are you telling me you consulted wisdom on how to create? Lord, what are you telling me? He said, listen, I always empower something that I need to. God consulted wisdom in creation. Let that sink into your little pea brain for a minute. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. Now, it's kind of like God and Jesus and Holy Ghost go, you know, we got a problem here. Let's ask wisdom. Wisdom, what would you do? All right, it sounds sacrilegious. It sounds sacrilegious, but I believe they were teaching wisdom how to be wisdom. The teacher always needs a student first. Yeah. When there was no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost said, hey, you know, we need the Appalachian Mountains here. Wisdom, how do you want to do that? Well, let's let a glacier come through here for about a 1,000 or so years, and it'll make a nice mountain, and it'll self-seed, and before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world, would he establish the heavens? Uh-oh. Are you telling me wisdom was there before God created the heavens? There I was. I was there, okay. It's redneck for there I was. when he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the seas its limit. Wisdom told the ocean, you can only come to here. Why? Because there's a place called Florida that's going to be there one day. And there's going to be a little church called Identity. And if you keep going, you'll run them over. They'll have no place to sit. I know, I think out of the box. When he assigned to the sea its limits so that the water might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundation of the earth. When I was beside him like a master workman. And I was daily his delight. Have you ever seen this? At that level? And we just keep having Jesus and the Holy Ghost to show up. We don't ask wisdom to come walk with us. But we want to build something and have inheritance for your children's children. And we've never asked for the very resources that God himself used to build. Then you got these idiots. Well, I only listen to God. Well, you're an idiot. Since we're being live streams, you're foolish. And I was daily his delight. Wait a minute. I thought I was his delight. Wisdom is saying that he was God's delight?
Yes.
Well, you weren't there then.
I don't know. I was in Christ. I'm going somewhere, Mr. Swordman. Rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. Wisdom delights in you. Why? Because he delights in what the Father delights in. Wisdom, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in wisdom are a team. And if God delights in wisdom, I need to figure out what wisdom's doing that makes him delightful. So when wisdom tells me, hey, this is the way you should do it, I should follow that instruction. Why? Then God the Father will look down and go, ah, he did what we did. He's following wisdom. And I can, in the back room of heaven, Jesus looks over at the Father, and Father said, we did a pretty good job training wisdom, didn't we? Uh-huh. Yeah, we reproduced him in our image almost, and he actually likes our kids. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. You want to be blessed? Hear instructions and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Who wants the favor of the Lord? Why are you going through other gates than wisdom? But he who fails to find me injures himself. How many people are wounded? All right. No one's answering me. So how many believe that you wounded yourself because you were not walking with wisdom? All right, look at my checkbook. Look at the wounds of my kids. Don't tell me those wounds came because as a father I was walking in wisdom. All who hate me love death. Yes. All who hate me love death. Verse 1 of chapter 9, and I'm done in Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house. She has honed her seven pillars. I got a question for you. Are you the house of God? Has wisdom built it, or has your unforgiveness, your bitterness, your accusation, your judgmental spirit, your religiousness, and everything else? Oh, that's your seven pillars. I'm interested on what the seven pillars of wisdom are. I'll figure that out, and we'll preach it someday. Is that good or what? Okay, 1 John chapter 1. That which was formed from the beginning. Now, what's the difference here, guys? I gave you, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, was with God. Basically, it's Jesus. Making the statement, I was there in the beginning. And we just went through Genesis. Who was with them in the beginning? Wisdom. Okay, so here we're backtracking now. Genesis and even John, the Gospel of John, and Proverbs was an Old Testament language to an Old Testament people. So I'm looking at a dividing line. This is 1 John. This is after the cross. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, excuse me, this is after the cross, which we look upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest with us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also, so that you may have fellowship with us. This is John, and this is in 1 John. He's talking about the problem is it the shift after the cross was not rules and regulations, it was oneness. I'm seated in heavenly places. Oh, wait a minute. I'm seated in a place that wasn't created until wisdom, God, and the Father, and Holy Ghost got together. But now I'm seated there. You getting this? Good. Because I'm going to have to go back and listen to it. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that your joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's too many of us Christians that have dark areas. I've heard the Lord say, some of my people just wear sunglasses so they aren't blinded. Because the real light will expose your true blindness and reveal to you what's dark. The truth will set you free. And then that light comes in. Ha. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, he is also in the light. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, we were in John, proving that Jesus is the Word. We went to Genesis and wrote the foundations. And at the foundation, wisdom was there. You could go into, Galatians? You know, if you lack wisdom, diligently ask for it. You can have wisdom. Wisdom is ours. Wisdom. See, the issue is wisdom sits in a heavenly seat and an earthly seat, but it only sits in an earthly seat when it has someone to sit with. Wisdom's not a lone ranger. That's a good word right there. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 19. Man, we're doing good on time. We're not really. Got 4 minutes. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. Then I saw heaven open. Listen, do you understand Revelation is, it's a revelation of what? It's not the end time book to go get freaky on me. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yes. What was John chapter 1? It was a revelation of Jesus Christ. Here's the issue. The first revelation of Jesus Christ is he was a lamb. This revelation of Jesus Christ is he's a lion. The first revelation is he was sacrificed. This revelation, he's a conquering king. Somebody said it in prayer. You know, everybody likes the Lamb of God, but nobody wants to be the Lion of Judah. I think you said that. Did you say that right? Something like that. Okay, that's my version of what you said. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. What? I said, Jesus, what are you saying there? Well, there's a name that only I know about. He says, friends name each other out of relationship. It ain't really nobody else's business because that relationship is so intimate. Husbands and wives call names to each other, their pet names. Some of the things my wife says about me, she can't say in public. We'll just leave that right there. He has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. What are you showing me, Jesus? He said, listen, publicly I'm the Word of God, but privately I'm God. I'm the Father's pet. I'm the Father's favorite. I said to him, does knucklehead count? Because God's called me knucklehead before. Some of you, that'd be offensive. Actually, I said that to Jewel one day. She got, oh, don't call me knucklehead. I'm like, that's my love language. Shut up. And come to find out, her dad used to call her knucklehead, but he did it in a mean way. God says it to me because I'm thinking, I guess I am. At least I'm your knucklehead. But see, one word is a love language to me, and it was destruction to her. Why? Because of the attitude of the Father. In other words, I'll call you that. I won't let nobody else. Here it is. And the army of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, they're following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword. That sword that Rodney picked up, how's he going to use it? Listen, he's only a warrior at the distance of the sword, if he only uses the sword. But if you'll start using wisdom and the word, you can create your world. Here's what it says. From his mouth comes a sharp sword to which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of the Lord and the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has written name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus has tattoos. Yes, he does. On his robe and his thighs. My point here is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost created and empowered wisdom, taught and trained wisdom on the job of creation. Wisdom caught the DNA of the creators And it's been assigned to us so we can create with our words. That's the prophetic foundation of this house. We're going to start creating a new world with our new words. As we apply wisdom, as we apply the word, as we apply the responsibility to win this city, to become a voice and to become a light in a place of a dark city, we're going to use the same principles that God himself did. Susie and I had some private time. And basically, in our private time, we came to the conclusion. Kind of took a shot. And basically, this is, okay, I don't like what the person said, but there's enough truth in there for us to get better. Do you understand there's enough truth in every false accusation if you have enough humility to apply wisdom? Yes. Even if it makes you mad. I've made a few people mad this week, and I'm very proud of myself. And the reason I can say that, I didn't make Susie mad. The rest of you really don't count.
And that's wisdom.
God is not afraid to offend your mind, to expose your heart. And most of the time, our hearts get offended because we're unwilling to be taught a new principle that you can't see. I had a tagline in one of my businesses, and I got it driving down the road. So it was a public statement. It says, if you're still in darkness, check your light source. And I had the name of my lighting company. It's funny that the secular people thought, oh, that's a nice quote. The Christians picked it up. If you're still in darkness, check your light source. Here's the bottom line. We're going to pick up the sword. We're really not going to swing it. We're going to speak it.
All right.
The problem is that we've been hurt, wounded. We operate in bitterness and unforgiveness, and then we speak and we think it's going to give life, and that brings death. So in Rodney's demonstration earlier, please don't pick up your sword unless you've checked all your darkness. Just leave your sword, admire it, make it a wall ornament. Look at that. They bought that for me. Isn't that pretty? Just make it a display, a trophy, because you used to speak the word of the Lord. Now you don't. You just talk about what God did through you years ago instead of what God's trying to do through you now. Yeah. It wasn't that funny.
No, I told Christy I don't have nothing to throw at you.
So what am I saying? I'm saying we're doing the prophets training, prophet school. This is a school. You know, Jesus was a rabbi. He was a teacher. And those people that followed him were his disciples.
Yeah.
Right? And God is saying, listen, if you get into a student mode, the teacher will show up. The Holy Spirit, one of his names is teacher. The problem is we don't want to be taught something new because we think we already know it. And the New Age people are outperforming us because they're tapping into the same spiritual realm, but it's through darkness. I'm telling you, it's time to out-prophesy the psychics. But the problem is we can't take ownership of their territory because we're unwilling to take responsibility of the city that they live in. I have a personal story that is kind of one of those private names that no one else can talk to God about. Yeah, I'll go ahead and tell you. There was a business deal that came in front of me that if I had been using wisdom, I'd have made $100,000 like that. But the property was in the city limits of Casadega. So my fear of darkness and my unwilling to rule put me in a position where I didn't make the money that I should have made. And I have been kicking myself ever since. Dude, I don't walk away from $100,000 worth of profit. And I could have made it overnight. And I have prayed the prayer ever since this. See, here's the problem. I was in the middle of paying off my house. So I was so focused on the promise of my house being debt free. He put a business deal in front of me that it could put another $100,000 in my bank account. And I didn't use wisdom because I was too focused on a promise that was a present day promise instead of the future. Bottom line is I didn't want to own property in a town I didn't want to have responsibility in. Bring me another business deal like that. I repented. I've changed my mind. What am I saying to you? If you're so focused on getting your promise and not still listening to the promiser, you got darkness in you. Because the Creator is always looking for something to create with us. Through us, for us. But it's going to come as we emulate Jesus Christ and we do warfare with our words of intercession. We do warfare and take responsibility for our spouses, our children, our homes, our local church, and where we sit in the region. We have to change our words or God's never going to empower your words. Susie and I are holding each other accountable because we flippantly say things that if we really had power, some of you wouldn't be living right now. It's easier for me and Susie to be the example, but I guarantee you, listen to yourself talk. Listen to what you say about people, about the church, about people in authority, and wonder why you're not blessed, because wisdom doesn't hang around fools. And we got hurt. We got wounded. I listened to her cry and I thought, what the heck do I do? And he goes, leave her alone. She needs to cry. Amen. Some of you have not cried enough to be willing to change. Amen. So who wants to be a student in this next year? Listen, I believe God has been and is releasing high-level teaching out of this house. Yes. High-level teaching out of this house. And I believe that we have a mandate to rule. But if we're not going to take the responsibility and we're not going to be disciplined and we're not going to be taught, then we'll squander what he gives us. You know, my son Jason would, when we were in business, I would get some prophetic encounter, and God taught me to give him at least 3 weeks to process what I told him. It took him at least 3 weeks to search the scriptures and lay the blueprint out and put it together. He always got where I was at, but he came around the mountain a different way. People without wisdom would just go with what God said and not understand that you don't have the wagon to pull the goods. Pa. Big D's been in the room all night, all morning. I watched him put his sword on some of your shoulders, which means he's trying to separate darkness from light within you, individually, independently, because that's where it starts. But he's a government level angel. And I'm not afraid of division in this house. This is not an arrogant statement. Some of you may not be able to go where we're going.
Yes.
Some of you will not be disciplined or humble enough to repent and get rid of your wounds and your darkness. I'm not saying that in arrogance either. See, when real humility comes and you're still on your journey with God, I worked my tailbone off in Western New York. And one day the Lord says, "Do you believe in the Father-Son paradigm?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Good, go lay hands on your spiritual son and give him everything you've done here and walk away, because your hands are too bloody. You've handled the sword in such a bloody manner, you can't build the temple." Do you know how difficult that was? But the bottom line is, I wasn't handling the sword well. See, because not only was I spoke information from the office of the prophet, I also kept this in my hands and did stupid things. I mean, would you tell the pastor, you deliver a word, and then you think you got to defend the word? No, you don't. I mean, they don't invite you back when you tell them to meet me at the town square and we'll ask God to kill the one that's wrong. They don't invite you back to preach anymore. And it wasn't that my information was wrong. I was using the wrong sword. Ron and I between us probably have 20 stories of the wrong sword. Even though we're accurate in our gifting, we were wrong because we kept the sword up instead of continued to speak life. And some of you have extreme gifting, but you're carrying the wrong sword. We get an influx of new believers. Some of you are going to be upset how quick God raises them up and uses them, because they're not going to have to deal with the junk that we dealt with. Are you have enough humility to let them stand on your shoulders and let them preach the gospel at a level that you and I dream of? That's the kingdom. Just put your hand on your heart. Say, "Lord, examine me. Separate the darkness from the light. Shine your light on every bitterness, unforgiveness, every wound. Self-inflicted, and what others have done. And set me free. Now shine on me. I pick up the sword. And I stick it in my mouth. To only release life. To only release light. Not to kill. Not to murder. Because the light that I release through my words will drive other darknesses away. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for creating wisdom. Thank you for teaching wisdom. Now, wisdom, I invite you. I'm going to do my part to attract you. I'm going to do my part searching for wisdom, understanding, knowledge in the word. But wisdom, stand beside me. Educate me to be part of the creating process with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, according to the Father's will. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, stand up. Do this. And kiss 2018 goodbye. Welcome 2019.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.